welcome to the weather finally is not terrible to be outside season of Winnipeg, which is going to be briefly followed by construction season in Winnipeg. It's about like a 3-week window that we have in here, but we may as well enjoy it. But also, welcome to Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy outside of UM, inside, very much inside, but out of UMFM only at 5 to 5:30 every Monday. Like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM. I am your host, Simon Pazzer, joined by my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazzer and Matthew Mann. How are we doing, lads?
We're doing great.
It's been a rough week, but it's looking up.
Good.
I've had some computer troubles, as you know.
Yes, I am. Hey, me too. you don't have to preach the... You're preaching the computer choir at this one. Adam and I both have had serious hard drive troubles over the past little while, which is always fun. But you know what is actually fun, not sarcastic fun, is Sekiro. So obviously we had to take last week off. We had some personal issues, and I thank everyone for reaching out to us and sending their kind words. I appreciate that. But we did miss, an enormous announcement from Google, and then B, this week, in fact, like Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice came out. The latest game from Software, and more importantly, the latest game from Masterwork director, game director Miyazaki. I forget his name, because I don't want to get him confused with Studio Ghibli's Miyazaki, but it's just a blessed name. If you have that name, you're clearly going to be an absolute all-time great. However, before we talk about our early impressions on that, I do want to talk about Stadia, because I think I heard a little bit, I heard some reports, and when I heard it, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I speak for all of us, I was like, is this just like a streaming thing? Haven't we done that before? Can I do that with my Steam account? Right? Did you guys, before I move on and talk about the points, because I actually went through the entire presentation and watched all of it, did you guys have any other early impressions that you should get out of the way?
Of I'd the stadium? Forgotten it existed, to be honest with you, until they...
Okay. Not a good start.
I'm a little hesitant on it. I mean, Google's behind it, so, you know, it's got a little more heft than, like, an Ouya 2.
Yeah.
But, yes, I'm sort of hesitant towards any of the... everything under one roof and everything is lovely and perfect and the best you could ever want it to be type products.
Yeah. It's very Orwellian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made the mistake of making notes both on a computer and on a phone, so I'm going to go back and forth between here. But the actual presentation is a full hour-long presentation, and part of what actually prompted me to watch all of it was I saw in one of the comments that MatPat made an appearance. I'm like, holy crap, MatPat? Sure, I'll watch it just to see whatever the heck he's doing. Because he always seems to be up on this technology stuff, and I'll get to MatPat's part later. But they basically start off by saying, yeah, it's pretty much what you think. The idea is that we have our own Google databases here, and then you'll be able to stream. But the major promises were, apparently, I didn't actually hear this number specifically in the presentation, but that's been reported elsewhere. Maybe I just missed it. If you have 25 megabytes per second, if that's your connection speed, you should be able to stream at 1080, 60 frames per second, no latency.
25 up speed?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
Or up and down, both. I know they're different numbers.
Yeah.
But maybe
probably down.
At least 25 of both. Yeah. Okay. Probably up. I would say at least if you have to have at least 25 of both.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I can tell you at home we have 50 down. We do not have 25 up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't have 25 down even. So this is a dream world thing for me still.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is this: that's Google might be preparing for everyone to be in this 5G world where people are more ready to go, but it is megabytes. Not like it's gigabytes, so it's
not
it
insane.
Seems feasible.
Yeah,
that seems like a feasible number to get a decent resolution. They also announced right away that there is they're going to be doing it 1080p. Obviously, as I just said, it's also going to be in 4K, and they're preparing for it to go in 8K. But they basically said no one's prepared for 8K, so we're going to prepare for it. Know that it's coming, and we'll be ready for it when it happens. But it's just pointless to prepare for that now because not enough people have an 8K TV. Barely anyone has a 4K TV, I feel like. You know, I'm playing PS4, or no, I guess our PS4 is now 1080, but for a while they were, like until 6 months ago, we were playing PS4 games in a 720p. That's why I played God of War.
Yeah.
It's almost an insult to God of War. I'm sorry, Corey. Anyway, so one of the things that they showed off was that basically because you're playing on the Google servers, you're not attached to one particular device. Mm-hmm. So they literally had a guy who started off on a laptop, playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and by the way, this Google Project Stream, which we talked about last year, that was basically the beta test for this, and it was only with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And it seems like that might work for, because that's more of an RPG-type game. But then later off, they showed Doom, and I heard mixed things about the actual Doom. Like, they didn't have it in the presentation. It was in a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
And the reports were there was a little bit of latency with Doom. It's like, man, maybe... I mean, respect for going for something that's intensive like that, but you'll want whatever you show off here to be absolutely perfect. And I was listening to a couple reports, and they're like, eh, we did notice a little bit of lag. But they started off playing it on a laptop, just a random laptop, put it down there. They picked it up on their phone. Their phone was attached to a little, it had a controller plugged into it, and it was attached to a little, what's I'm looking for, a stand.
Yeah.
Continued the same game on their phone, AAA game on your phone. Close that down. They literally said in the presentation, we found the worst PC we could find and bought it. They picked it up on that PC, ran fine on there. And this is in real time, in like over the course of, say, mm-hmm. 30, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Put it down there, picked it up on a tablet. I think it was called a Google Pixel Slate, but presumably it could run on any tablet that can run Chrome. Yeah. And they picked it up on their TV, which had a Chromecast, which you can buy anyway. Plenty of people have Chromecast regardless. And it was, for what it, I mean, it's a tech presentation, but it looked relatively seamless. And then I was like, man, Nintendo should be a little bit sweating here. Yeah. All of a sudden, you can have AAA games wherever you are. And so they had brought up a bunch of things. Like, you could, I mean, MatPat, when he was talking, he was like, if you had a decent enough connection, you could be playing a AAA game while you're waiting for a presentation on playing AAA games. Like, you could play it in this hall. You could play it in the doctor's office. You could play it, you know, we're waiting for an airplane. You could just be playing the AAA games that you have at home.
If you have unlimited data.
Yeah, or a Wi-Fi connection that's good enough is obviously the important connection.
Man, the data that would chew through would be monstrous, I would
imagine.
You would
not want to do this on data.
Yeah.
That's for sure, especially, you know, with Canadian data rates. That was pretty cool, though. I have to be honest, watching that, I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
I gotta say, when they're doing it in the sort of tech demo space and everything works smoothly and flawlessly, it really is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the tech that they can do, the convenience to have all the top games anytime, anywhere, is great. It's really just the question of, like, when it's out of the, like, tech demo sort of space, then what's it like?
Yeah, exactly. Because we've been burned before by a lot of these things.
Yeah.
But I think the Google name carries a fair amount of weight. And they just did the test with Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly they were confident enough in what the numbers that they got from Assassin's Creed that they're going to move it forward. So when we have a discussion 5 minutes once I'm done catching you guys up, what I want to hear from you is your opinions, assuming it works. Okay, so if we're just going to sit here and be like, yeah, it's probably not going to work, that's not a very good discussion. So I want to hear what you think it's going to do to the industry, assuming it works. I do have more information for you, though. Now, one of the other things that was really cool is if you're playing a game, say, for example, you want to show people what it's like, or if you're MatPat, you're a YouTuber, you can actually make a link of that save state in that game and then send it out.
That.
Yeah, and
holy
then
cow.
Players can go directly to that save part of the game. The other thing to talk about is if you're watching a Twitch streamer play a game, or you watch someone play on YouTube, because they own YouTube, obviously, you could just press a button and then you're in playing that game that they're playing within 5 seconds, was the thing they talked about. This is really interesting stuff. They announced they have a new controller, their own Google controller. It looks kind of like a PS4 controller or a Nintendo Switch Pro controller. It's got these sticks that are in the same spot, so if you like them to be not symmetrical, asymmetrical, like the Xbox controller is. It's not like that. I kind of prefer the Xbox one. I find that that's a nice...
Yeah.
It just fits in the hand better. This didn't look super ergonomic, but who knows. What else do I have written down here? They got a whole bunch of... They didn't name drop developers, but they were like saying, hey, we got... Developers are going to be interested in this game. We're going to be using... We've already gotten with the Unreal Engine. They had another engine that I've forgotten the name of.
Havoc, I think.
Havoc, that's right. They have the Havoc physics engine. All these things already work on this. And, of course, they brought in the Doom developer, id Software, to be like, yeah, we have been working with similar things to this. They've built it to be very similar to what we have. We're expecting it to work out very well. Okay, I'm going to go off, list some bullet points here, because, again, they covered a lot in this presentation. You can also stream directly from the game to YouTube. So you can have the game, one side of it is streaming directly to your PC, the other side is streaming directly to YouTube. Because it's not coming from your PC, so you don't have to worry about the power to stream in two places at once. So you could do that. If you want, you could record all your gameplay if you wanted to. The PS4, they're just listing power in teraflops. That's not a unit of measurement that I'm familiar with, but I'll trust them. The PS4 Pro produces 4.2 teraflops. The Xbox One X produces 6.0. And the Google Stadia can produce 10.7. More than both of them combined. Which is why they assume that they can play 8K video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So flops, by the way, just means floating point operations per second.
There you go.
In other words, how many... Like a float, it's just a math thing. Operations per second is the important bit.
Perfect.
There.
So it can do, boy, a heck of a lot.
It's a big old computer.
Yeah. It's a big old computer, and it's very... And then they kind of implemented that, as we're going to get to in a second here, in a couple ways that I didn't expect. First of all, they said, obviously, we're going to be totally cross-platform. So if you want to play a game, if you're playing, let's just go with Fortnite, whatever, if you want to play with people who are playing on their Xbox or their PC or whatever, they're going to be totally inclusive of that. Multiplayer. Here's something that actually caught me off guard, and it should probably catch Adam off guard, too. One of the things I talked about is how couch co-op is dying because games are becoming so impressive that a console can't render it twice. And that's a major reason why couch co-op is dying. Now you don't have to worry about that, so you can play absolutely play couch co-op because Stadia is going to be rendering it, not your PC. So you can just stream it in. And so they showed off couch co-op. They had this little tech demo where they had a game where players were... It was asymmetrical gaming, too. One character was running around. The other one was flying around. Looked like a little bug looking at them. Totally in there. And they showed off... They had, like, two, three, four, five screens. However many you want.
Yeah.
We can do it. As long as you basically have the connection. That was really cool. I didn't expect them to come with the couch co-op reviving angle.
Yeah.
That's not really
what you think of when someone unveils, like, a giant streaming service, basically.
Exactly. That was sneaky. They also basically said if you're watching your favorite streamer, they have something called Crowd Play where you can basically get into a lobby to play with them. So if you're watching, say, a guy that we both like, Adam, Johnny Superman, play hockey, you can get into a lobby to play NHL with him. You could do that with whatever your favorite streamer is. And, of course, that's obviously controlled by the streamer. If you're stuck in an area, the Google controller has a Google Help button. So you can just ask it to do what you're doing, and it'll look up onto the internet and find you some sort of helpful video and help you get through a section. That was pretty cool. And they have their own studio called Stadia Entertainment, headed by Jade Raymond, who designed the first Assassin's Creed game.
That's founded Ubisoft Toronto.
Yes. So she's a big deal.
Yes.
That's all very interesting. What they did not mention was price at all. And is this going to be a subscription, or are you buying these games? But it is going to launch in 2019. So, that's the word vomit of the information. What do you guys think? Because I went in, I'll get mine out of the way real quick. I went in being like, I don't know about this. And now I'm pretty excited. Because the idea of if I have, like, you got to question who the market is for, right? We all have consoles. Yeah. And Adam and I both have PCs. But, for example, my girlfriend who watches me play games and is like, you know what? I'd really like to get in on that, but the idea of paying $500 for a console or $1,500 for a good PC might be a bit steep. The barrier of entry is too high, but a Chromecast, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Or whatever the cost of this Google Stadia thing is. So I think this might get a lot of people... This might lower the barrier of entry for a lot of people that we're not expecting, and that makes me excited. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to depend on the answers to the two questions they didn't answer.
Well, what would you bet on? If you were a betting money, if you're a betting man, you had to put money down, what do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be a subscription. I don't think it's going to be a one-time thing. But that's probably the pessimist in me because I'm like, if this is a one-time thing, I will be all over this. Because that's really cool and really convenient.
Well, one-time thing in that you buy, it's like Steam, I think is what the implication is. So you buy the game on there, but that makes you wonder... Do you have to own the game if you're watching a streamer play it?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe. And I would expect so.
Yeah.
That's a true good point. I'm not sure. It's very impressive. But it's sort of... But the 8K thing makes me go, like, we have a 4K TV at home. And I have watched hockey games on it. And I've gone... If you told me this wasn't 4K, I'd probably still believe you. Because I can't notice a difference. So, like, which just is sort of an indication that I'm not overly impressed with the tech demo.
Interesting.
It's a really neat idea, and depending on how much it costs, that's a huge factor for me.
Yeah.
But also, like, part of the thing about the tech demo is, yes, that's really cool, but how often do I want to do that? Like, how often am I going to be playing something in my browser and be like, okay, I now want to do this on my phone for a while? Like,
really? You don't think so? You're going out to dinner, or you're just moving away from your computer and just like, I'm stuck in a really good part of this game, and you take it? That's exactly what the Switch does.
Except, well, yeah, but I, well, I've noticed...
They did everything but snap in this tech.
Well, except you're not going to have a controller on your phone. Unless
right,
you,
well,
you
could.
It into the phone.
Yeah, but you might have a, I mean, similar to the Switch, it's just a controller attached. Yeah. You might have whatever this controller stand attachment is.
Yeah, I think the Stadia controller, or whatever it ends up being called, is going to be mainly focused around moving between any kind of device.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, you can play it on a PC or whatever with, like, your PS4 Xbox controller, but, like, that won't work with your phone, right?
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to emphasize the sort of freedom of movement between the things, so I think that's what their specific controller should be at least focused towards.
And I mean, maybe it's just because I'm pretty old school about that, but I like, if I'm going to play something, I want to sit down in one place with one device and do it. I don't generally bring it around with me.
Yeah. See, I've sort of traditionally been like that, and I thought that's how I would be with my Switch, and then I find I really love playing my Switch in handheld mode, even if I'm sitting in front of my TV. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm impressed with the tech behind it. I think it has to be a subscription service. I think they're really pushing the, like, oh, like, watch a game on YouTube. Oh man, I want to play that. Cool, let's jump in. I think having to pay $80 when you do that to jump into a game like that really kind of hinders that experience. So I'm doubtful that it would be anything other than a subscription service, but who knows? We'll see. But I don't know. I'm very impressed with all the tech moving, like, seamlessly between devices and stuff. It's really, really cool. The biggest thing for me, like, I think someday this will be what gaming is. I just don't know maybe if they're jumping a little bit ahead. I don't know if the infrastructure for internet speed is really there to support this kind of thing yet.
Mm. That's the big thing.
Yeah. Like, I know for me, I think I'm currently at, like, 8 megs down or something like that. Like, not impressive. Whatever like the best Bell offers is, that's what we've got, and it's not impressive. Mm.
Bell offers better than that, because we have better
well
than that.
Not in my area.
Oh.
But yeah, I think it's just the biggest question for me is just if the infrastructure is there for the streaming stuff yet, because I'm wary of any sort of internet only service. You know, I dread the day when I'm, you know, my sister's watching Netflix and now I can't play whatever game
play
it is.
Monster Hunter.
You know, I can't play a single player offline game because someone's, you know, using the internet.
You're
excited
back to the
days
of dial-up. I can't play this game because my mom's on the phone.
Yeah, right. I'm excited for what it could be. I just don't know if we're really there yet. It'll be if Google can, you know, sort of pump it up and, like, keep it going until the internet sort of, like, catches up to it. I think it's going to be awesome. I just don't know if we're really quite ready for this yet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to leave it there for now because we don't know too much, and I'm sure we're going to get more announced. But I want to get early impressions out of Sekiro so we can save the last 3 minutes to do our new favorite segment. Name that sound. Yeah, it's coming back. We didn't forget about it. And once again, I didn't listen to the sounds in advance, so it's going to be a total surprise to me whether or not I did actually read the comments on one, and it seemed like it was kind of nefarious, so we dropped that one, and I'm trying to find a new fifth.
Nefarious?
But it did. Okay. It definitely seemed like it was a trap. So we're not going to play that one, but we are going to play other ones. However, obviously a new From Software title came out. Who's gotten the farthest? I've played like an hour and a half.
I think it's probably me.
Adam's played, what, you like 5 or 6?
Oh, but it's more than that.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Having said that, I would say that about a third of my playtime has been fighting one boss. So, in terms of progression, maybe not.
Yeah.
But in terms of total playtime, I bet it's probably me.
Yeah, no, I'm about the same as you, Simon.
Okay.
Sort of very early impressions, but yeah, hour and a half or so.
Because I've beaten the first... In terms of... Because I sort of divide them up into mini-bosses and bosses. Mini-bosses give you the health increase thing, and bosses give you an attack increase thing. So by that logic, I have beaten 2 bosses.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. So, I may as well go first. So far, I like it. It didn't feel like that hard right out of the gate, and then you reach a tough enemy, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is that hard. But the verticality seems very nice. The character seems very nice. The fact that there's a story that we actually know is kind of nice. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
One of the first fights you go on, you walk into the scene, you're just like, Yes. Yep. You guys know how to design a scene. Yep. And I don't have too much more to say, honestly, because I'm still so new. But one of my absolute favorite things about this is I think, I said this to Adam last night, partly as like a contrarian, but also I do believe it's true. This feels like the most realistic combat I've ever played. And by that, I mean, the way they do the combat is basically you have health and you have poise or you have
posture.
And so you can kind of smack someone, and even if they're blocking, they'll slowly weigh down their posture or weigh up their posture because the bar kind of fills.
Yeah.
And then when it's full, you can go in for a death blow. So the idea is that you kind of wore down their defense, and now you can get that single hit that's going to be good enough to kill.
Yeah.
And that feels the way a fight should feel, to be quite honest. Like,
yes.
If you have two skilled fighters, they're probably going to be doing a lot of blocking, and whoever gets the first good hit in, let's be honest, you're fighting with swords, they're going to die.
Yeah.
So as painful as it is to get your butt kicked over and over and over again, this feels the way fighting should feel. And even though it's contrary to the way I've played literally every other Souls game, because I was absolutely a turtle who would like to be a support class, I'm excited for it. I'm eager to try it out. And even some things are totally backwards, like holding down block actually restores your
stamina faster,
which is the absolute opposite of everything that we knew about Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was really cool was I read the top post on the Sekiro Reddit page today is a guy basically calling himself out for being a fraud because he would overlevel in all the Souls games. He would find a nice place to farm, overlevel, and then enjoy walking through the game. And he's like, I feel like they called me out.
Yeah, because you can't do that.
You can't do that
anymore.
You
cannot.
They're absolutely, they're basically saying, we want you to play as a Katana Dex character. We're going to force you to do that because that's the game that we wanted to make. And they made it. So maybe next they'll make a magic game. Who knows? But in the meantime, there's this game. It's really interesting. First impressions, go.
So, it's sort of in the vein of that guy who got called out, I played and loved Demon's Souls. I loved all of the Dark Souls games. I got to Bloodborne, and I felt as if Miyazaki was just like, screw you and your slow-paced magic nonsense.
You're in my world now, boy.
And I hated Bloodborne. And then I went back to it a second time, and I slogged through it. And, like, the story is really cool, and I still don't really like the game mechanics. And then I started playing this one, and I went, boy, you really doubled down on digging that boot in, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's like, if you hated the combat of Bloodborne, oh boy, is this one going to get you.
Yeah. Even though it kind of took a different direction with it, but it's similar to the idea of we want to be pushing the pace.
Yeah. It's really frenetic and fast-paced, and I'm still kind of getting used to that.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't mean to say that as a criticism. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But holy cow, am I bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
I mean, I listened to a reviewer, and he was basically like, it took me, honestly, 3 or 4 days to unlearn Dark Souls, and then I could begin to learn Sekiro.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, you can get about midway through the game, and then you have to progress the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, what do you think so far?
I'm having a really great time. It's sort of like going from Dark Souls to Bloodborne, going from the tank to, like, tank is just not an option.
No.
And so it's weird because even it feels very different from Dark Souls, but it sort of has the bones of Dark Souls. You can like feel and sort of see the influence. And so, yeah, it's a strange feeling starting off and you're like, yeah, I know how to do this. And very quickly you learn, no, you don't.
Yeah.
The combat is very skill intensive, which means you die a lot, but it also makes it really, really fun when you start to figure it out.
Yeah.
I remember the sort of the first mini boss guy, or maybe the second mini boss guy that I fought, where they introduced the like, you have to dodge this way for this type of attack.
Oh,
you
yes.
have to dodge this other way for this other type of attack.
Yep.
I was like, oh man, this is like, ugh, I'm in for a tough one here. But the first time when I actually saw, okay, he's going for a sweep, so I got to do this one. Like the first time when you actually figured that out, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to like find more, like more of the stuff for the situational fighting. It's really, really cool so far.
It seems like those seeds were always in Dark Souls. Like, if you watch really advanced players play, that's always what they're talking about. Like, you have to watch the attack animations. You know you dodge here. You know you do that. And it feels like people who actually play it don't necessarily do it that way. And now they're just like, no, that's what I was really proud of. I'm going to make you do that.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see how it goes. One of the things that I really like, first of all, if you want to train, because the fighting is so different, they gave you this unkillable dude who wants to fight you in the opening area to fight with. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Practice your skills with him. You can't take damage either, so it's just purely a match of get used to the controls here. And another thing that I really like is it sort of brings back world tendency in a weird way. With the dragon.
Yeah, everyone gets sick the more you die.
Everyone can get sick, and I wasn't sure how to feel about that, and then I saw a commenter who talked about it, and he basically said, this takes the guilt and the weight of your issues off of you, because it's just like, yeah, my character may be as corrupt as he wants to be. I don't care. In those other games, you know, you can hollow as much as you want.
Yeah.
Now it's like there's that added weight of guilt. You'll be fine, but everyone around you will start to suffer.
Yeah, so I cured Dragon Rot the first chance I got.
Exactly.
That worked on me.
You cannot take this... You have to take this seriously.
Yeah.
And they only get Dragon Rot if you stay dead. If you revive, because shadows die twice, then they're safe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, because I thought... Cause the
people
way
think
it was,
it's the opposite.
Yeah, because the way it was explained, it was like the resurrection energy was what did it. So sometimes when I would die really early in a boss fight, I'd be just like, I'm just going to stay dead because there's no point reviving when I know I'm going to lose this fight anyway.
The way I heard it explained was when you revive... when you revive the first time, that's using your blood.
Yeah.
When you revive after you stay dead, that's using the dragon's blood.
Oh.
Was the way I heard it described to me.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I've been doing that wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So now you and everyone else know. However, we're at almost the end of the show, which means we have 3 minutes to play my new favorite game, Name That Sound.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go. Remember last time it was 2-2 because no one could get the last one. So hopefully we can actually get the tiebreaker here. Name That Sound. Some of these are longer because it's just a compilation of sounds. So we'll see what happens. Sound number one.
Ismachin, kalos, lege, prostagma, orthos, hetimos.
Έστω ταπεινός. Πρόσεχε. Λέγε μεταλλεύς. Αλλιεύς.
Getting some confused faces looking at me.
Did you just type stuff into Google Translate? I have no idea what that is.
Those are mumbo-jumbo languages. Anyone have any idea whatsoever? I'll wipe this one off the slate if you guys have no idea. It doesn't look like...
I got nothing.
Looking at two totally blank faces.
I don't know. Simlish? Doesn't sound like it.
No, that's... You know the Age of Mythology and Age of Empires?
Yeah.
That's the...
Is that their language?
That's the villager language.
Okay.
They sound vaguely Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's
okay,
from mythology.
I wouldn't have got that.
I think they were... From the sound of it, they were going to change... Oh, you keep listening?
Kid.
Now I think they're Egyptian. So start with the Greek, since it's going to shuffle through?
Yeah, no. I didn't.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll have a little easier time with this one.
Oh, I've heard this a billion times.
Yes.
Why can't I think of it?
Here we go one more time.
Yes.
Ding. I'll give you each one guess.
Oh, it's a load screen. It's like I think it's a logo.
One more time, then I'm gonna press you each for a guess.
Is it Game Freak?
Nope. You're close though.
Is it?
Adam, guess.
Is it Rare?
No.
Duh.
You guys guessed Rare last time for the PlayStation noise. I don't think you have any idea what the Rare sound sounds like.
Actually, no, it's not. Yeah, it's not Rare.
But. Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You probably heard it before the
before
Game
Before playing
Freak.
Pokemon, yeah.
That's why you said Game Freak. Good.
Okay, here you go. This one should be... hopefully, you guys get this one. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do if you don't get any of them. That's not what I expected to hear.
What?
There we go.
Is it a Reaper landing?
It is a Reaper
landing. Oh, well done, Matt.
Very good. I've been replaying Mass Effect 3.
I didn't have that at all.
Yeah. That was 5 minutes of Reaper sound, so I was kind of hoping that we would get like a deep bass in there somewhere.
Yeah. I probably would have gotten it from that. But yeah,
Matt for still getting that. So currently it's Matt 1-0. This one, I might need a buzzer for this one.
Oh, Pokemon Health.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Adam gets there first. Okay.
Chaotic sound.
Here we go. It's 1-1. For the win of today's match.
We definitely needed the ba-ding, ba-ding.
Yes, yeah. I feel like we needed a buzzer. Okay, ready for this one? It's very short.
Halo Shield coming back.
Adam gets there.
Ah!
You had Halo. That's correct.
Yeah.
But the shield was the important part. So Adam takes round two. Very good. Okay, we're going to keep doing that next week, but of course we're out of time. So keep
more
playing. Keep
week.
Dying. You're probably going to die way more than twice. Yeah, we'll have more in-depth going to Sekiro. But in the meantime, stay tuned for an extra special episode of TV Talkers coming your way. We'll see you next week.